So we have been in this series together called Peace to This House. And this comes from Luke 10, where Jesus sends out his disciples and he commands them that when you go to a place, the first thing you do, the first thing you say is, peace to this house. And that in doing that, the peace of God comes and rests in that place. And so we've been taking a look at what it means, what it looks like for the peace of God to rest, to dwell in our houses, in our homes. We've been taking a look at what it means for the peace of God to experience that in our lives. And we've taken a look at some Hebrew, and the Hebrew word shalom, which when translated to English is peace, but we've recognized that the Hebrew word shalom is so much more than the English word for peace. That shalom encompasses so much more than peace does. I looked up the definition for peace, and it said the absence of conflict, the absence of turmoil or strife or freedom from disturbance. And so peace is the absence of those things. However, shalom is the presence of everything necessary for wellness, wholeness, growth, completion, prosperity, well-being, soundness. It's this whole rounded picture. In essence, peace is the absence of something. The English definition of peace is the absence of something, where shalom, the peace of God, is the presence of something. It's not only enough for the harmful not to be there, for conflict not to be there, but to have that void then filled with the goodness of God. When you drive your car for a while, you need to replace the oil, and it's not enough just to take out the old oil, but that needs to be replaced with the new oil. It's like this cup here, which is empty. If this cup was filled with bad things and you emptied it, this would be peace. There's no conflict here. It's a cup that is emptied of bad. However, this cup has water in it. This cup is shalom. This cup is not only emptied of the bad, but it is filled with water, necessary for life and growth and vitality and strength and hydration. I was talking with Janelle last night, trying to figure out a good way to describe this. But the worldly peace, this English understanding of peace, is a lack of something. It doesn't have substance. You can't put emptiness into a cup. You can empty the cup of the bad that's in it, but you can't put emptiness into something. In the same way, this worldly peace, this lack of conflict, you can't put peace into your household. You can't put that peace into your life. You can try to weed out the conflict or the strife or the turmoil, but you can't put that type of peace into your life. However, the peace of God has substance. You can put water into a cup. You can't put emptiness into a cup, but the peace of God, this fullness, this goodness, this blessing can be put into your life. It can be put into your household, into your relationships, into your workplace. So in essence, the peace as the world gives is just a lack of something else. It's a lack of the conflict. But the peace that God has to offer us, this shalom, is something substantial. Darkness is not something. It's just the lack of light. The peace that the world gives is just the lack of something else. However, the peace that God gives is like light. It is something. I don't know if I described that very well. I was wrestling with this last night. I was like, Janelle, does that make sense? But by way of introduction, the peace that the world gives is just a lack of something else. But the peace that God gives is something. It is the presence of the goodness of God. So we're going to move on. Here are my cups. You can look at them as we continue. So this is the peace of God. This shalom, this presence, this substance that can be infused into our lives. And we all have the need for peace. We all need peace. As the Bible puts it in the ABCs, we are alienated from God, we're in bondage to sin, and we are in conflict with God, others, and ourselves. And these ABCs creates this need, this area of space where we need the shalom of God in our lives. We have traded the glories of God for our own sinful desires, our own sinful ways. We've turned our back on Him. We went our own way. We've said, God, I know how to do this. You don't. I'm going to do it my way. And in doing that, we've separated ourselves from God, and we've separated ourselves from His peace. We've created a space for this conflict and turmoil and strife. We've instigated this in our lives. And so we need the peace of God. And even in our sinful state, God created us for a relationship with Him. And so there's this longing in our heart, even in our sinfulness, there's this longing deep in our heart for a relationship with God, for an experience of the shalom. And it's in all of our hearts. If you go out on the streets, if you go to your coworkers, you go to family members, you go to anyone out there and you say, do you want peace? Do you want wellness and wholeness and completion, prosperity and flourishing and growth? People are going to say yes. There's a longing in our hearts to experience the shalom of God. Everybody wants this. And so everybody ends up searching for it. And some people search for it by pursuing meditative yoga to find their peace, their shalom. Some people do it through maybe a diet change. Maybe that's they want to experience wholeness and fullness and completeness, and so they do that through a certain diet. Some people may chase after peace through reading a manual or a book on the 12 practices of peace. You know, some people may pursue peace through substances, through the use of drugs or other substances to get their peace. Some people are going to pursue a nirvana, a kind of emptying yourself to pursue peace. But the truth is that the peace of God, the peace with God, with others, and peace within, is not found in a program, a pamphlet, a philosophy, or a practice. It's found in a person. The peace of God is found in a person, and it's found in the person of Jesus Christ. In John 14 through 16, we read a piece of that. Tom read a piece of that where Jesus is talking about the vine and the branches. But Jesus starts out the beginning of chapter 14 by saying, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." And he continues on talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. He talks about this unity with the vine and the branches, how we're connected to Christ. And he ends by saying, "I have told you these things so that in me you might have peace." Jesus says, peace is found in me. That this peace, this shalom, this fullness, this promise of rest, of blessing, of goodness, completeness, wholeness, is found in the person, in the Prince of Peace, in Jesus Christ. And outside of Him, there is no peace. It is through the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Christ that we have access to the shalom, to this true peace, to this goodness, to this blessing. The birth, death, and resurrection. If you think about the birth of Christ, Christ was born as a child. That's the classic Christmas story, and one of the pieces is the shepherds who are out watching their sheep. And to proclaim the coming, the birth of Christ, there appears a multitude of angels, and this is what they say. They say, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to those in whom His favor rests." Jesus' very birth was announced with peace. You think about, you know, the peace of God being found in Christ, the very birth of Christ was announced in peace. Think about the death of Christ. In Isaiah 53, it says, "He was pierced for our transgressions, He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was on him. The very death of Christ brought us peace. This is what Isaiah says. He says the punishment for our sin was laid upon him, and in that we receive peace. So the birth of Christ is announced with peace. The death of Christ brings us peace. And the resurrection of Christ, Jesus rises from the dead, he appears to his disciples, and the first thing he says is, peace to you. He shows up to his disciples, that's the first thing he said. And it's the only time he says those words. The only time he says that phrase, shalom to you, goodness to you. He says it twice there, and he says it only after he's been resurrected. His birth is announced with peace. His death brings us peace. And his resurrection, the first thing he says, is peace. This is the shalom, the peace, the blessing that is found in the person of Christ Jesus. The song, It Is Well With My Soul, written by Horatio Spafford. Many of us are familiar with the song. It describes this peace that transcends life's circumstances. This shalom of God. And in verse 3 it says, my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. That is the foundation for our peace in Christ. Christ is the foundation. Christ is the access to this peace. However, though Christ's birth was announced with peace, his death brought peace to us, and his resurrection was accompanied with this blessing of peace, those things alone do not guarantee peace to everyone. That does not guarantee peace to the world. Now stay with me here. It offers an access to the shalom of God. It offers an invitation to experience this peace, but Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection does not automatically force peace into our lives. That the peace that is brought when Christ came, when Christ died, and when Christ was resurrected, is not a peace that everybody experiences. It is a peace that is offered to everyone to experience. But it is a peace that is uniquely for those who make this commitment and restoration of a relationship to Christ, to God. I believe that Jesus, that God wants to powerfully work his peace in the lives of everyone. And I believe that God can work his peace in the life of an unbeliever in amazing ways. But there is a unique and a specific blessing of shalom on us who have this unity with Christ. Philippians 4:7, it's the verse on the front of the bulletin. It's a common verse when we talk about peace. It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, it goes beyond what we can ever understand, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. It's not just a guarantee for peace that will guard us and protect us anywhere or whoever we are, but specifically in Christ Jesus. This shalom of God that is offered to us is a unique and specific offer for those who are in Christ. That it is in the person of Christ that we experience the shalom, and outside the person of Christ, we have no peace. We may be able to have the empty cup of peace outside of Christ. But to experience the fullness of the shalom, the peace of God that Christ has to offer, we need to be in Christ. He is the one in which peace is found. If you have ever gone to Europe, one good place to visit would be the Buckingham Palace. I will confess this illustration is not my own. I heard it from somebody else. But if you go to the Buckingham Palace, you will be able to tell whether the Queen is present or not, because the royal standard will fly, that flag will fly when she is present. If royalty is not present, there will be another flag flying. But only if the royalty is present does that flag fly. In the same way, peace is a flag that flies that depicts who resides within. That when Christ resides within, peace is an external indication of an inward happening, an inward experience. There's the children's song. There's love, and then there's joy, and then the third verse, peace is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart, for the king is a residence there. But it's this picture of peace being an indication of us being in Christ. Tom read the passage from John 15, which talks about this unity, the vine and the branches being unified together, that it is in Christ that we have this peace. So the shalom of God is like a flag flown from the castle of our hearts as an external indication of an inward experience of His shalom. But it goes deeper than that, because a flag can be kind of attached externally. And in Galatians 5, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, etc. But peace is one of those fruits. A fruit you can't attach externally. You know, during the Christmas season, we have Christmas trees, we hang little ornaments on them. Those aren't fruit. That's just little things attached externally, but a fruit is produced internally and grows out from the tree. In the same way, peace, unlike a flag that can just be attached externally, grows from within us as a fruit. And that is a work of the Holy Spirit in conjunction with us being in Christ, attached to the vine of Christ. That peace is a fruit that comes out of our lives. So in closing, we have the peace that the world offers, which is not something, it is just the absence of something else. We have the shalom which God offers, which is the fullness, the completeness, the strength, the energy, the protection, the soundness, the prosperity, you know, all wrapped up in something that is substantial. We all need this. We all need the shalom of God. We all long for this peace in our lives. And we find it in the person of Jesus. Nowhere except the person of Jesus can we encounter this peace. We see it in His birth, in His life, in His death, in His resurrection, that He is the Prince of Peace, and that peace can be found in Him. And when we find that peace in Him, it flies like a flag from our hearts. It is produced like a fruit from a tree. And when people see the peace in our lives, they recognize that Christ is in us and we are in Christ. That peace is not just something given to us for our sake, but peace is given to us to point others to who He is. That when Christ gives us peace, it draws others to Him. Can I make a request for a closing song? Can we sing "It Is Well With My Soul"? It would be 493 in the red hymnal. So we all need the shalom of God. We all need this blessing of Christ. And it is a substantial thing that can be poured into our lives, a fruit that can be produced by the work of the Holy Spirit.